Good morning. My name is Andy Burr, and in the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of First Church Natick, this congregation, I'd like to welcome you here this morning. Welcome people who are joining us by Pegasus throughout the town of Natick and others through our website. It's great to have you here, and remember, whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. I have some announcements this morning. The first is that we'll be lighting the Christ candle in just a moment, so I invite those at home to get a candle and have it with you so you can join us in that lighting. Send any prayer requests that you may have to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. Or you can send them as a text to my cell phone. That number is 978-790-8250. Or you could write them on a card, which I believe is found in your pew, and then give it to an usher, and they will scribble it up here in time. Please join us downstairs in the vestry for coffee and snacks in a time of post-worship fellowship. As well, you can tune in online, and that link, are we still doing that? That link is right there, and it can be found on our website. This next Saturday is very exciting. The Guatemala Partnership Pharmathon fundraiser that we'll hear about in a minute is next Saturday. And next Sunday is the Family Promise Metro West Walk to End Homelessness. If you're interested in that, please see or be in contact with Chris Gentry. Jeanette has what she promises to be a brief announcement.
Good morning. You are invited. Reverend Andy Burr has joined us, and we're still coming out of COVID times, and we're looking forward to bringing together small groups of 5, 7, 8, the exact number's not important, but we'd love you to be there. So keep a lookout. We will be meeting here at the church. We'll wear masks. We'll skip the refreshments just to make sure that everyone feels comfortable being in each other's presence. We're practicing. And so we'd really like to have you all come meet Andy one-on-one. It's a little tough on Sunday morning sometimes. And so these outside of church meeting times will be available for you. So watch for a Google poll or more information in the link. If any of you have any questions, come see me downstairs and we have some time slots for you to sign up. Thank you. We look forward to really exposing Andy to our warm welcome.
Let's choose another term.
My apologies. All the best.
Why do we light this candle, the candle of Christ? I know it's new for me to ask a question, but let's try it. Why do we light this candle? To keep the light of Christ burning. So I'm going to light that in just a moment to keep the light of Christ burning, to remind us that we are the light of Christ and we're called to bring it into the world.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. We gather once more as a great multitude from various peoples and places we've come. We gather once more to shout, Alleluia! Salvation belongs to the Holy One.
wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power be to God.
We gather to worship day and night the one who guides us to the springs of life. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God, our shepherd, restorer of our souls, the one who calls us to nap in green pastures, we enter into this moment of worshipful gathering, trusting that you will guide us along the paths of righteousness. Wherever we may be in this world, let us know the comforting presence of your rod and staff. We are expectant, O God, that our fears will fade, that our cups will overflow, and that your goodness and mercy will accompany us in this hour and beyond. Now, let us worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Recognizing that there are as many opinions as people in this room opinions about masks and distancing. Let's respect all those opinions and share the peace of Christ with each other. The peace of Christ be with you.
happy Mother's Day and also happy birthday to Robin. It's both a birthday weekend and a Mother's Day weekend for her. And Andy asked me to provide a little bit of a talk about the Guatemala Partnership's 2002 Farmathon that is going to be this coming Saturday at the Natick Community Organic Farm. And there are a number of us from this church as well as from the Needham Congregational Church that are going to be coming together as we come out of the pandemic and we start to reconnect. But we'll be coming together to provide a little bit of our time volunteering locally at the community farm while also thinking globally and trying to support education and development in Santa Maria Zeja. And I had a clicker here, it's not working, so some technical difficulties. I think the refrain that you'll be hearing today is, next slide. So, as you all may be aware of, for the last couple of years, we have been supporting education. This church has been supporting education and development in Santa Maria Zeja. Santa Maria Zeja is a indigenous community in Guatemala. It's in the lowland jungles of the country. It is a community of about 240 families and about 1,300 individuals. Next slide. We support education and development in that community through the Guatemala Partnership. At the primary school, the middle school, the computer center, as well as we support high school scholarships. And here's a photo of Jenna and I back in 2020 in the primary school in Santa Maria Zeja. We, through the Guatemala Partnership, we provide economic support to the primary school. There is, the government of Guatemala does provide some level of funding to primary school education, but it is woefully insufficient. So we provide some supplemental support. Primarily, a lot of this of our funds go to support, you know, school supplies, which, by the way, thank you for the next slide. The Natick Congregational Church, you recall, we did a collection of school supplies back in 2020, and we brought those school supplies down to the community. There are some photos of the school supplies that you had all gathered. And they were actually, if you recall, February of 2020 was just before some large event. Next slide. And this is these are the primary school teachers. This was a slide, this was a photo taken recently. But they quickly distributed the school supplies that you had gathered to the families so that the kids could continue their education remotely at home during that difficult time. So your school supplies were critical in helping primary school education continue during that period. A photo here, thank you, next slide. This was it, keep it here. This is a photo of, we have a partner family project where we connect families in this congregation with families in Santa Maria Zeja. And this is a son, this is a photo of Aaron Toj Botan, who is the son of Florinda Toj Botan, who is the partner family of Kelly and Matt McCormick. And so if you think about the school supplies that you donated, they were going to help Aaron continue his primary school education during that period of time. The next slide. So in Guatemala, education is only funded by the government through primary school, that's through sixth grade. And after that, that is usually the end of formal education for many youth in Guatemala, in particular in rural indigenous communities like Santa Maria Zeja. At this point in time, kids often return home and that's the end of their education. Next slide. But Santa Maria Zeja is unique in the sense that it is an indigenous community with a middle school. We have been working with Santa Maria Zeja since 1987, and in the mid-90s, we worked with them to develop a middle school. It is a progressive, community-run middle school with high female student enrollment. And while many rural communities do not have access to a middle school, Santa Maria is unique that it has one. Next slide. And middle school education is not free in Guatemala, but in 2017, we started a pilot project to cover the cost of middle school tuition for students in Santa Maria Zeja. And very quickly, we discovered what a success that was. The seventh grade class that year doubled in enrollment. There were kids who had been out of school for 1 year or 2 years because their parents couldn't afford to send them to school. And when families have to make the difficult economic decision of whether they can send their kids to school or if they can send only one to school, it often falls most heavily on Indigenous girls. Indigenous girls in Guatemala, by the way, are the least likely to have an education past primary school. But I want to say, one little anecdote here. When we started this pilot project, families came to the school to enroll their a child, and they would find out that the Guatemala partnership was covering middle school education, and some families would return home and come back and enroll a second child, which was evidence that these families were making this hard economic decision of whether or not they could send both kids to school. And I want to say, in this slide here, if you're thinking about Indigenous girls in Santa Maria, it is unique in that their middle school we have high female student enrollment because we have made middle school education free for all youth in Santa Maria, which is a really great thing. Next slide. And it's also unique because we have been there for a long time supporting education that this school is also Indigenous taught and Indigenous run. In the back there is a photo of Juana Perez. She was one of the first students to graduate from the middle school back in the 90s. I've known her since the 90s. And we supported her to have a high school scholarship so that she could go to high school. And then she eventually got her teaching credentials. And now she's back in the community teaching at the middle school. And that is really a profound thing to think about, what that means for this community to have the teachers be from the community. Next slide. And it's also, we have a very progressive education. They have a very progressive education system. In the school, the top photo there is Mayan books in their library. So the kids have, they study their Indigenous language, Quiche, but they also have English as well as Spanish, math and science. And they have a really rich music program as well as an arts program. And then on the top right there, I'll go back one. On the top right there, I took that photo the last time I was at the school in 2020, and it's a poster that the kids had made, just informal, and it's about solidarity. And they have little notes they'd made about solidarity that the cooperative. So Santa Maria Zaha is formed around a farming cooperative, and the cooperative should be in solidarity with the community. The cooperative should be in solidarity with those who are sick. We all should be in solidarity with those who are less well off than us. And I thought that was a nice thing to see on the walls of the middle school, this idea that the kids were thinking about solidarity and the importance of helping others. It was just a neat thing. The next slide. A photo of the music program. I was visited the school one day, and it's kind of nice. It's always nice weather in Santa Maria Zaha, but they were outside, with practicing outside. We also provide economic support to the computer center, and Santa Maria Zaha operates a computer center. And what's really great about it is that not only does it provide the basics around how to use Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, but they also have, they teach digital literacy as well as digital hygiene, and they focus, which covers the concept that while there's a lot of information that can be gained on the World Wide Web, there's also a lot of disinformation that comes from the World Wide Web. And I have to think, Santa Maria Zaha, by the way, during the pandemic, it has one of the highest vaccination rates in the area. And I have to think that ties back to the education that the kids have there and to their awareness of disinformation. And so that's kind of a neat thing, how you see sometimes these connections. The next slide. After middle school, there is no high school in the area. There is no high school in the region. Kids have to travel 5 hours away to Coban and reside in Coban to go to high school. We are a small organization, but we provide support for a limited number of high school scholarships. This is Jennifer Pastor. At this point in time, she was in middle school. She is since one of our current high school scholarship recipients, and she is studying in high school. Go back one. Jennifer is a really great kid. So they do teach English in the middle school, but she has an affinity for languages. I will say that all kids in Santa Maria Zaha are bilingual. They speak both Quiche, their native language, as well as Spanish. But she really has an affinity for languages, an affinity for accents, and she on her own was also studying English via Duolingo, and her accent is like perfect, like as if she was a native English speaker. It was super impressive. Next slide. When we travel, so we travel twice a year to Santa Maria Zaha, a little bit of a pause because of the pandemic, but we visit with the high school students who are studying in Coban on our way to Santa Maria Tzeja. We spend a night there, and we take them out to dinner. We go out to dinner with them. And it's always a rich opportunity for conversation with these students who we've known for many years, because we're always going to Santa Maria Tzeja. But I want to call attention to, on the top right is Domingo Ús. And I said that we are only able to support some scholarships, but we are not supporting his high school education. But his older brother is an illegal alien in the U.S., and is supporting his high school education. And so when talking to Domingo at this dinner, he talked about how his brother's always calling him and making sure that he's, are you doing your homework? Are you going to class? And it was such a kind of an interesting thing to be aware of you could hear the sense of his older brother who didn't have the opportunity to go to high school and who wanted his younger brother, who wants his younger brother to have the opportunities that he did not have, sending money back from the U.S. so that his younger brother could have the opportunity. And on a Fox News point, not all illegal aliens are criminals and thieves. They are just people trying to help their younger brother get an education. Next slide. I've been working with Santa Maria Tzeja for many years. I took this photo when I was in high school in the 90s. In the background is the first school that we helped the village build. In the foreground, there's two girls carrying water. As Andy talked recently in a sermon, there is still no potable water in the village. The daily chore of gathering water still falls primarily to the girls. I do have some slides downstairs and a larger presentation, just visual presentation, not for this, that shows what people's homes look like. Oftentimes, dirt floors, thatched roofs, no running water. But I want to say, while they don't have a lot of stuff, they do not live in squalor, and through the help of the partnership, they do not lack for opportunity. And I want to talk a little bit about that in a second. Actually, I'm going to stop talking in a second and show a video of Nettie Chom, who just finished medical school. She went to our primary school, and she graduated from the middle school, and through the Guatemala partnership, she was able to get a high school scholarship. And from there, she was able to go to college, and she recently completed medical school. It's an amazing story, and even more amazing, if you add a little bit more background, she'll talk about this, her father and her mother. Her father, Pedro Chom, his first wife died in the refugee camps in the first year that they were in the refugee camps. So Santa Maria Tzeja was destroyed by the military in 1982 as part of an act of genocide against the indigenous population during their difficult civil war. Many fled across the border to Mexico. Conditions were not great. Pedro's first wife passed away. He's also one of the first health promoters that we trained in the community many years ago. And I have to think that his interest and his passion for public health is from that trauma. And to this day, we meet with him. He's getting old. He goes door to door proselytizing about the importance of, you need to boil your water, you need to take prenatal vitamins, the importance of vaccines. And he's a wealth of statistics of how many births in the village, how many deaths in the village, what are the illnesses that are currently going through the village. So we always meet with him. But I have to think that Natty, dream of becoming a doctor. You know, everyone kind of looks to their parents as role models, and her father and his passion with public health, I see a sort of a line through Nettie Chom and her becoming a doctor. So with that background, I'm going to share a little bit of Nettie's story. She talks about the importance of education and development, what it's meant to her, what it's meant to the community, and what all of your support has meant to all of them. And, oh, by the way, it's got subtitles. It's in Spanish, but the subtitles will help you out.
Es Natividad Chom, soy hija de Pedro Chom y Teresa Sales, creo que ya muchos de ustedes nos conocen. Quiero en este pequeño video darle gracias a Dios por haber construido estos lazos de amistad entre ustedes y Santa María Tzeja, porque gracias a esto muchos jóvenes hemos tenido una oportunidad maravillosa y hemos heredado algo tan grande y valioso que es la educación. La educación es algo que a nuestros gobernantes no les gusta, a muchas personas tampoco, y por lo tanto siempre han tratado de mantenernos al margen. Sin embargo, estoy muy agradecida con la vida por haberme dado a una familia, a una comunidad y a amigos, grandes personas como lo son ustedes, quienes muchos nos han visto crecer desde, nos vieron crecer desde niños, saben de nuestra familia, saben de nuestra situación y a pesar de todo eso siempre han estado con nosotros. Al inicio de mi carrera, yo creí de que las oportunidades de estudiar solo llegaban hasta el nivel primario o el nivel básico. Sin embargo, me he mantenido estudiando desde los 5 años, prácticamente he estudiado toda mi vida. Y con el esfuerzo de muchas personas, logré graduarme el año pasado de médica y cirujana, en el año 2020. Y de verdad me siento muy feliz, muy orgullosa de haber podido culminar la universidad, algo que al principio pensamos que era realmente difícil. Sin embargo, sí se puede, ¿verdad? Las oportunidades, si se aprovechan, se pueden hacer cumplir los sueños y es algo que yo siempre había querido ser médica. Entonces, gracias a cada uno de ustedes por contribuir en la formación de muchos jóvenes, somos muchos profesionales. Santa María Ceja se caracteriza por ser una comunidad de muchos profesionales, de mucho desarrollo. Entonces, ustedes realmente han sido parte fundamental en este proceso. El esfuerzo de ustedes ha valido la pena, estamos muy contentos, muy agradecidos y quiero que ustedes también se sientan muy, muy orgullosos de nosotros. Muchas gracias, muchos abrazos y muchas bendiciones.
Thanks, Natty. She's in a 4-year residency now in internal medicine. It's kind of incredible. And I like her words, it matters. I want to shift gears a little bit here and think about how we are all connected, and I want to think about this church and the roots of this church and the history of this church. And I think about how the second and third ministers of this church were indigenous. And I think about how the first church, our first meeting house, was also a school. And the next slide. And I think about how we have a long history of ministry in the space of education through our very successful preschool program, which ended recently, and then more recently through the Achieve program. And I think about how this is all connected, if you go to the next slide, about your support for education and development in Santa Maria Ceja. And I think about this quote from Kofi Annan, former UN Secretary General, education is a human right with an immense power to transform. If you think of Natty Chom, who is now a doctor. And on its foundations rest the cornerstones of freedom, democracy, and sustainable human development. If we go to the next slide. And think about connections. I think about Gail Martin and Carolyn Cheever's partner family, Edubigis Cano, who Andy spoke about last week, a couple weeks ago, and his granddaughter and her visions for the future, his visions for her future. And when I met with Edubigis Cano back in 2020, he gave me these two seeds. I was talking to him about Carolyn and Gail and their interest in gardening, and he just had this desire to connect, and he wanted to give something. And so he gave me these seeds to bring back to them. And I think about all the seeds are a small thing, but all of the meaning behind that act of giving and that desire to connect. And if you go to the next slide. And I'm going to be, in a second, some people here will be distributing some things to you, but I want you to think about, back to that story I was talking about, our pilot project, which we've continued because it's successful, about making middle school tuition free. And I want you to think about the barrier that the families were facing was 380 quetzales, which works out to be about $50. $50 a year was what families were having to say to their son or to their daughter, I'm sorry, your education is going to end now at sixth grade. And that's the end of your opportunity. I'm amazing that small amount is all that was causing an impact, a barrier. And then, so moving forward to the next slide, where do we take this from here? If you think back to the poster on the wall of the middle school, if we think about the middle school education and that concept of solidarity, I invite you all to be in solidarity with the community of Santa Maria Tseha. I invite you to think about how you can be connected to helping carry forward. This is Eduardo's son that he's carrying through, that we were visiting their parcela and some of that stuff they grow. Anyways, how do you carry Eduardo's son forward? And there are some people in the congregation who are gonna be distributing some cards to you who are participating in the Pharmathon, who will be working with us next week. And Lane and Doug and Robin. And these cards on the front have a little bit of information about what your donation could support, but on the back side it also has a QR code, technologically savvy. And as well as if you were interested in writing a check, how you could write a check. But I thank you for listening to me and for listening to this moment and for all of your support in the past and in the future supporting education development in Santa Maria Tseha. So thank you. Oh, and again, happy Mother's Day.
The young people are headed off to godly play. Wow, there's quite a few of them today. Thinking about the people who live in the village of Santa Maria Tseha, and thinking of the people here in Natick and the ministries that this church supports, I invite you to remember once again the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. It's not that you ought to give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. Your surplus at present may fill their deficit, and at another time, their surplus may fill your deficit. Now, of course, they weren't speaking just of money, but it applies. Remembering those words and the people of Santa Maria Tseha, let us continue to worship God with our offerings. They can be placed in plates there and there, through the website or mailed to the church. Sorry, Tom. Let's pray together. We dedicate these gifts that have been shared for the fortification of the beloved community. Let these gifts do justice in the world. Let them be a sign of our belief in God who saves, heals, and sets free. Let these gifts and the works of our hands and feet be a blessing to all in need. Please be seated.
The scripture reading today comes from the Acts of Apostles, chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Here ends the reading for today.
There are those among us, myself included, that wish I had the wisdom to just say amen to what Jeff said. I don't, however. And I'd like to exercise a preacher's prerogative and change the title of this morning's sermon to Methetria and Daskalos. Methetria and Daskalos. Anyway, a woman named Dorcas has the starring role in the scripture lesson appointed for today. Luke, the author of the Acts of the Apostles, lifts up that she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. That phrase, devoted to good works and acts of charity, along with a couple of other bits of the story, implies that Dorcas was a woman of privilege. Anyway, there she was in Joppa, just doing her thing, doing good works and acts of charity, when she becomes ill and dies. Luke tells us that her friends washed her body and placed it in a room upstairs. In a room upstairs is another phrase that implies that she was a woman of privilege, for only the homes of the wealthy had a second story. Only the homes of the wealthy had a second story. Her friends summon Peter to that upper room. He comes and dispatches her friends from the room, kneels by her body to pray, and then says to her, "Dorcas, get up." And she does. Just like that, she was healed. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the lesson for a moment, to that word, disciple. Disciple. Dorcas was a disciple. In her commentary on this morning's text, Dr. Mitzi J. Smith, a New Testament professor, notes that this passage begins with the words, "In Joppa there was a certain female disciple." That's the word if you were to go back and look at it in the original Greek, which means nothing to me. That's the word. And then, if we transliterate that word, it goes to this one, Methetria. That's the first word of my new sermon title, Methetria, by the name of Tabitha, which translated into Greek means Dorcas. Remember, she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. Acts of charity and good works indicates again that she was a woman of privilege. Dr. Smith continues, Dorcas understood, it seems, that the flip side of privilege is the responsibility to those less privileged, as Jeff mentioned a moment ago. In fact, she bears the privilege and the burden of being the only named Mathetria, female disciple. She bears the privilege and the burden of the only named Mathetria in the New Testament. Now, it seems to me that Luke must have consciously chosen, that word Mathetria. Dorcas was a Mathetria. After all, Ms. Dr. Smith, the commentator I referred to earlier, taught us it was the first and only use of that word in the Christian scriptures. This morning, though, I think that Luke could have also used daskalos, which means teacher in Greek. Dorcas was a teacher educating her community there in Joppa, just what women were capable of. Dorcas was a disciple just like the men, and Luke, by his word choice, was emphasizing that and calling attention to it. I imagine that his use of the word Mathetria must have been quite shocking in his day, especially to the men. I imagine his use of the word Mathetria must be quite shocking in our day, especially to the men who think only men can be disciples. So let's leave Joppa and skibble over to Guatemala to the village of Santa Maria Zeja. Now, I want to be very careful here. I don't want to assume that others' faith traditions are the same as mine. I don't want to impose my beliefs on someone else. And I also don't want to draw the analogies too closely. Santa Maria Zeja. This morning, I'm wondering if Natty Chome just might be the Dorcas of Santa Maria Zeja. I wonder if Natty is that village's version of a Mathetria. Not the first, but the first name. Now, I'm sure Natty Chome, like Dorcas, again, isn't the first or only. She grew up in Santa Maria Zeja. She followed her dreams. And rather than a disciple, Natty becomes a doctor. Probably the first doctor coming out of that village, a female doctor. And I'm imagining that since she's a female with the title of doctor, that must be quite shocking to those in the village. Just think about what Jeff said about the indigenous girls of Santa Maria Zeja. So doctor must be quite shocking, especially to the men. By virtue of Natty's education, she is a woman of privilege. And by virtue of her privilege, Natty understands that the flip side of privilege is the responsibility to those less privileged. And like Dorcas, Natty's also a daskalos, a teacher. She's educating her community right there in Santa Maria Zeja and right here in Natick, just what women are capable of, capable of anything. So Natty, just by being Natty and pursuing her dreams, using her God-given gifts, talents, and ability, is educating all those in her orbit just what the women of Santa Maria Zeja are capable of. And the women of Santa Maria Zeja are capable of anything, regardless of what the men think. Natty's life trajectory and accomplishments are teaching us right here in Natick the value of education, not only to elevate one person, but the entire village. Natty, just by her very being, is proclaiming to the world, education is important. Education is what got me here. Education is what can get you here. Friends, saints of God, right here in Natick, do you see where I'm going with this? Like Dorcas in Jesus' day, we are people of privilege. Like Dorcas, we do good works and acts of charity. And this morning, a morning when we're intentionally thinking about our 2 or 3 year relationship, but really the 39-year relationship of solidarity with the folks of Santa Maria Zeja, we are called to follow the example of Dorcas. This morning, saints of God, right here in Natick, this morning we must understand that the flip side of privilege is the responsibility to those less privileged. We must understand that the flip side of privilege is the responsibility to those less privileged. Just like Dr. Smith observed about Dorcas' life and ministry as Mathetria. This morning, as a way of honoring the life and witness of Dorcas, this morning, as a way of honoring the life and witness of Natty Chome, this morning, as a way of honoring the life and witness of First Church Natick, we are also called to be daskalos, teachers, educators, with our gifts of prayer, with our gifts of solidarity, with our gifts of accompaniment, our gifts of generosity, generosity of spirit and generosity of dollars. As a community of faith, let's proclaim to the world the value of education and our responsibility as privileged people to stand in solidarity with the saints of Santa Maria Zeja, to educate the children of the village so that they, like Natty Chome, can rise up and raise the community as well. It matters. May it be so for us. Amen. This morning, as we enter into this time of prayer, I would ask that you hold on your hearts the people of Russia and Ukraine, the saints that are listed on the prayer list in your bulletin. I would ask that you hold on your heart and offer your prayers for brother-in-law Mickey as he undergoes diagnostic workup and therapy decisions for cancer. There's one who prays that they pass the NAVLE, N-A-V-L-E. Are there other joys, concerns, celebrations, prayers that people here have? Members of her family as they mourn the loss of Lynn. Yay. Great. Carolyn, welcome. And I am told by the person themselves that they're a German speaker. May you two find your way together at the coffee hour. Are there others? Then let us join our hearts together as I pray the words of Ted Loader. Gracious and Holy One, Creator of all things and of emptiness, I come to you full of much that clutters and distracts, stifles and burdens me, and makes me a burden to others. Empty me now of gnawing dissatisfactions, of anxious imaginings, of fretful preoccupations, of nagging prejudices, of old scores to settle, and of the arrogance of being right. Empty me of the ways I unthinkingly think of myself as powerless, as a victim, as determined by sex, age, race, identity, as being less than I am or other than yours. Empty me of the disguises and lies in which I hide myself from other people and from my responsibility for my neighbors and for the world. Hollow out in me a space in which I will find myself. Find peace and a whole heart, a forgiving spirit and holiness, the springs of laughter and the will to reach boldly for abundant life for myself and the whole human family. Amen. And now we pray as Jesus taught us. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. We can follow the example of Dorcas. We can follow the example of Natty Chome. And remember that those who are privileged must understand the flip side, which is the responsibility to others. Remembering that as you go and be the light of Christ in this world, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.